Back here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Checked out that news signal here for the Predators season recap show. Chase McCabe, Pete Weber, Hal Gill here with you. We talked to David Poile earlier to start the show. Let's say hello to the head coach, John Hines, who is on the line with us. It was announced today, John, that you and your coaching staff, you're going to be back to your contract extensions. Congratulations on that, and thanks for doing this tonight.
Well, thanks, Chase. I appreciate that, and it's good to be with Hal and Pete here tonight. And, yeah, I'm really excited for our coaching staff. I think these guys do a great job, and looking forward to moving forward with these guys and the team, and you know, building something where we can continue to build off of what we had this year, but make some serious grounds late in the season and in the playoffs.
Hal brought up a good point before we had you on of, you know, the 82 game season, and it's been, this was your first 82 game season as coach of the Nashville Predators. From your coaching staff point of view, how much did that help of as you guys continue to work together and gel together of knowing that you had the full slate to be able to do some of the things that you wanted to accomplish? And I think we saw that with that identity that you've talked about and that truly being established.
Well, it was, you know, I think it was really important for the first 82 games for numerous reasons. One, you know, Chase, as you asked about the coaching staff, I mean, these guys are really good coaches. I mean, you look at the experiences of you know, Todd Richards, you know, Danny Heinel, Dan Lambert, Benny Van de Klok, like these guys have been around for a while. But just the fact that we could be together and going through the highs, the lows, the travel with no interruptions, and the ability to be in the foxhole, in the trenches with the players day in and day out, working through, you know, celebrating the good things and working on the things that we need to be better at, and individual meetings with certain guys and the confrontations you get in as a coaching staff of how we can be better and what we can do. Like, it was the first time we were all together as a full coaching staff through the highs, the lows, and the same thing with the players, the coaching staff with the players. It certainly was a big factor, and I thought that, you know, the reason why we had some success, because there was some real chemistry between the groups, the coaches and the players, and coaches to coaches and coaches to players. And you know, I think it was a good foundation. It didn't end the way that we wanted it to end, but I think that there was certainly some really strong strides as far as what we're doing collectively as a group, players and coaches.
And coach, as you came in here in January, a couple of years ago, almost 3 years ago now, you were all of a sudden thrown into a situation that no one could possibly imagine. And then the pandemic hits. I mean, you were constantly making adjustments.
Well, it was certainly, you know, it was certainly a tough time for everybody. And, you know, I think when you get into the situation, nobody expected it. But I can honestly tell you that it's not the easiest situation for a coach, but you have to adapt and try to figure out ways in whatever situation you're in, you're put in as a coach. But I think the way that the organization's run, like from David on down, just, I mean, he worked so hard to try to connect us with the players and connect us with, you know, try to stay connected as a staff through the pandemic with meetings and Zoom calls. And like you could see coming in as a new coach, although it wasn't the ideal situation, but you could see the passion and the connection of the organization from Sean to David to us. And, you know, to me coming in a new situation, the level of connectedness and communication that he wanted and he drove was really, really important, I think, of trying to get through that stage. And then, you know, coming into our first full season regularly and with new coaching staffs and new players and turnover, that, you know, I think there's a real strong connection from in the organization that drives the success of a connected group.
Coach, I feel like you've obviously, as a coach, you want to get the best out of every player. And, you know, Forsberg and, you know, Duchesne, Yossi, Saros, all amazing years. But the younger guys, you know, we talked about it earlier in the show, 82 game season, it's a grind. And so how do you coach these guys coming into next season, looking forward, Tanner Jeannot, Yakov Trenin, Tomasino, these younger guys, Carrier, and I know we had talked to Carrier's, you know, he's not a big guy, but he plays an aggressive game. He's got a great gap and he's got to control his game. All these young guys, how do you try to teach them from this year and get them better so that they can handle the 82-game season coming up next year?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, I think last year we talked a lot about our veteran players and top players and kind of what they needed. And really it was a two-way street, Hal. Like, we really communicated with those guys and, okay, what did you feel was good? What do you need more? This is what we see. This is what needs to be adjusted. And you work hand in hand. And I think that right. needs to continue with our top guys. Now, when you talk about the younger guys, it's really, okay, what are the lessons we learned, right? There was lots of positives for those guys, but there was also growing pains, particularly later in the season and into the playoffs. And we kind of have those initial exit meetings with those guys of get their feedback. What did you learn? What can we help you with more? What do you need to help yourself with more? And now let's develop a plan and a communication plan to get you to be ready for not just 62 games, but 82 games. And I think for some of those guys, it was really good for, you know, not the whole 82 game schedule, but a large majority of it, they were good. So what are the steps we need to take? How do you manage your game early in the year? How do you manage your game through the year, your off days, your recovery, the changes in your lifestyle? And then what do we think we need collectively as a group? Here's what we think as coaches. What do you see as the player? How do we get you from game 62 to 82 into the playoffs to now be guys that can really impact the team to win late in the season, the hardest hockey, a playoff series, and that's the next step for us. And I have no doubt that I think if we work together in that and everyone sticks to the plan and commits to the process, I think that these guys are going to take a step and be better for it.
We're talking to Predators head coach John Hines here on the season recap show. And David mentioned today that, you know, there would likely be a new number two goalie. From your eyes as the head coach, did Connor Ingram do enough in his playoff appearances and his appearances earlier in the year, what you saw from him in training camp, to make you feel comfortable and confident that he could be that second goalie to UC Saros?
I think Connor certainly made a statement for himself. You know, I think he's come in and he had a good training camp last year and came in and played well for us in the few games that he played early in the year. And, you know, I think he's gone down to Milwaukee and played really well and got a lot of games and has helped his team get into the playoffs. And now he's going through a playoff series, which will be, you know, they're going in the series right now where they're going to need top end goaltending to win. So that's another evaluation for us coming up. I thought what he did for us in the playoffs was good. I thought he came in, obviously it was a blowout in game one, and came in and kind of he settled things down and made the saves that he needed to make and played an unbelievable game two. But I think, you know, Connor's certainly making a case for himself. I just think it's important for us to evaluate Connor and any other players that are out there and make sure that we pick, you know, and evaluate the player that we believe is going to give us the best chance to support Juice, but also, you know, give us the opportunity to win games in 20 to 22 to 25, whatever it is. I'm not putting myself on a number, but we need a guy to come in here and play and help us win games. And Connor certainly put himself in that conversation.
Going to be curious, isn't it, Coach, with the Admirals taking on the Wolves, a shared team from a year ago. And that was essentially what happened in the playoffs with Carolina last year. You had guys playing against each other who had been teammates earlier.
Yeah, certainly. You know, that was, I think it was a benefit probably for both organizations last year that we were together in the American League. And, but like you said, now it's kind of going head-to-head in a different direction. And, you know, obviously the Admirals have done a good job to earn their way to where they are now. And Chicago is a really good team, so it's going to be an exciting series to watch.
Coach, I know, you know, contrary to everyone in the hockey world, you're a human and you have a family, and you're moving to Nashville and you re-up. So can you take us through your family's thoughts? And I'm assuming they love it here in Nashville, like everyone else does. Are they happy to be here?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was a situation, Hal, where you know, we wind up moving in the pandemic, and I have, you know, like you said, you have a real life outside of hockey too, but it's what we sign up for. But at the end of the day, you know, if some girls that are in, I got three girls and they're in the high school, middle school age, and, you know, it was a hard move in the beginning just because the pandemic was there where you didn't have normal life. Like, none of us connected. The kids couldn't connect. You're not in sports, not in school or whatnot, but it's been really good the last year or so here, where they've kind of matriculated in, kind of found their footing in their schooling and their friend groups and sports, and, you know, they're certainly excited, and we're certainly excited as a family to be able to keep, you know, continue this journey of building the team to get it back to where we all want it to be, but also from a family perspective that, you know, we can settle in and enjoy Nashville. The kids have settled in, and, you know, that's a big important part of it too, but we're really excited for it as a family for sure.
John Hines is with us, and John, you and David both talked about this a little bit today too, of, you know, helping out that second line, and, you know, you obviously know what you got with Forsberg, and hopefully that gets all resolved, and Duchesne and Johansson and Granlund. But when you and David are talking about what you're looking for a second line winger, I guess at this point, what is it that you want to see other than the obvious of somebody that's going to put the puck in the back of the net?
You know, that's a great question. And I think I have the answer for you. I mean, we're looking for, we believe in our core guys. I think when you look at what those guys have done this year, I mean, they carry the load. Like, they had to produce every night. They had to be good regularly. They had to be good for 82 games. And I think now it's like, okay, how do we support them? And when you look at the way the game's played and you look at our core group of guys, is you need to get top six talent that can not just put the puck in the net, but it's the style of game that they play. Can they play in traffic? Can they play fast? Can they puck hunt? You know, are they consistent in their game? And they have top six, top three, top six scoring ability, offensive production. And I think when you look at the best teams, is when you can play an in-your-face style, you can play fast, guys can play and produce offense under pressure. That's what we need. We need another guy like that, or two guys like that can come in and support our players. And can they play in confrontational situations and produce at a top six level? If you can find those guys and target those players and understand that's what we need, it's our style, but I think it's also the style that wins in the NHL at this point in time. And, you know, we're going to take a step in the right direction.
And that's a job description, Coach, that isn't so easy to fill, is it?
Well, it's not easy to fill, but they're out there. You know, yep. I think you really have to do your research and you have to dig in and I think find guys that can play in those situations under that type of pressure where there's no time and space, but their offensive abilities are there in those situations. I think sometimes you can get in and look at players and it's, you know, they have high offensive numbers, but how do they produce? When do they produce? What type of games do they produce in? I think you really have to fine tune and narrow down and target the players that can play under duress in tight situations with no time and space. And if you can get those players, you're going to increase your team's ability to win.
Coach, are you watching the playoffs now?
I am. I got it on the TV now. We got a commercial break, but yes, I am for sure, Hal.
So it's I always felt like it was, watching someone kiss my wife, but I was like, I want to be there and I don't want to watch this. This is awful. But is there something that you take out of, or do you just watch it as a fan?
No, you know what? There's certain series, I don't want to get into that, but like there's certain teams and certain series that we'll break down now. Like it might even be tomorrow. You know, you might watch a game and see what a particular team's doing, but no, I think you watch some of it as a fan for sure, you know, because it's, I mean, it's the best hockey of the year, but there's other things, I think, as a coach that you're looking at, certain teams, certain things, certain players that you want to see. So it's kind of a dual approach. But it's been certainly exciting to watch.
Time off, do you? You never get time off. You're always a coach watching hockey.
You know what? The best part, Alex, when it's actually over. That's when you actually realize it's almost like you feel as a coach, like when the season continues to go on, like you should be working and getting better and adapting and going through, and it's live now. But once the Stanley Cup is won, I think there's like a 3 to 4 week period where it's like, okay, it's over. Like, everything's done. Let's move on to the next year. But from now on, no, it's still, you're still kind of going for sure. It's less, but you're still going.
He is John Hines, the head coach of the Nashville Predators. John, thanks so much for your time throughout the season and also tonight. And we'll see you again very soon, hopefully at an announcement for another contract extension. So that would be nice, but thanks so much for doing this.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate all your guys' hard work and observations. And, you know, we all go through a lot, and I really respect the job that you guys do and appreciate the time and effort and respect that you give me. And also, I think the team and the hard work that you guys put in is certainly appreciated by the fan base.
Thank you, Absolutely. Coach.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. John Hines, the head coach of the Nashville Predators, joining us. We'll come back and talk about some of those things. And you know, I thought his answer on what he looks for, you know, for a second liner, I thought that was interesting. As you listen to the Predators season recap show, ESPN 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.